ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Sanhedrin is dedicated by Mr. Zisha Lipschitz in honor of Rabbi Yaakov Metz.
Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Hei. The Gemara, the Daf, opens with the different dayas in the Amoraim as to the reason for the psul of Maseches Bekuvya, the gamblers in the Mishnah, where the Posel La'edus and L'dayon, and whether there's a machloikis tanoim between the Yehuda and the Rabban of the Mishnah. That is, the Yehuda definitely holds that the reason for the psul is not because it's an asmachta and it's a theft, but rather it's like the Yehuda says in the Mishnah, because they have no other profession, and like the Gemara says, they're not oisik b'yeshuva shel oilam. We said over the different days in the Rishonim on this yesterday. That's a Yehuda. There's the opinion of Rav Sheshes in the Gemara that he holds that the Chacham agree with the Yehuda in the Mishnah, and the Yehuda is just explaining the Chacham. According to Rav Bachama, the Chacham disagree with the Yehuda, and the Chacham hold that the problem of the gambler, the Maseches Bekuvya, is because it's an asmachta, and like we explained yesterday at some length, because the person doesn't really have a full das, a full cognizance and acceptance of the fact that if Taka, he loses the gambling, then he's going to give up the money. So because of that, it's a end of a theft of a gneiv when you take it from him, because not given with a full heart, and that's the problem with the Maseches Bekuvya, according to Rav Bachama's understanding of the Rabbanan. According to most poiskim, we pass in Halakha Sheshes, and we hold that gambling is not a true case of Maseches Bekuvya, because the person ultimately is not a true case of a smachta, and it's not a gezel, a true gezel, like we explained yesterday, because ultimately the person actually is giving it up midas. Taisus over here brings down different derochim in the opinion of Rabbi Netam, the opinion of the Ri, as to how to explain the different sugyas in Shas, stereos this way and that way, as to what does and does not constitute an asmachta, and what is a true gemiras das, that a person is indeed obligating himself. There's two basic drachim in the Tosfos. Rabbi Netam's shitta, in essence, is that the asoid is that as long as I stand to gain, to possibly gain, I'm willing to take on the risk of a loss. As long as there's a tzad being maviach, I'm willing to risk losing, and I have a full das and a full heart in terms of accepting that there'll be an eventual loss, and that's Rabbi Netam's shita, and in Miyasha the sugyas with this yesoid. If there's no possibility of a gain, then stam azoy to take on that I might end up losing, that's without a full das. That's Rabbi Netam. The Ri's shita, brought down later in Tosis, which Tosis says in his expansion of Rashi shita, the sugya, that the Ri essentially holds that as long as there's two conditions that are met, then it's not an asmach, then in Miyasha the sugyas with this. So one condition is that it's totally biyodoy of the individual is taking on the eschaivas, it's completely up to him to make the determination whether he'll fulfill it or not. And secondly, that the amount of the hischaivus of the negative debt that he's going to incur if he doesn't fulfill is not a guzma, but it actually relates well to the actual loss that it's incurred by the other party. So as long as it's not a guzma, and it's not a very inflated number, and the person has understanding meikoroi that he's going to be able to make the decision himself personally, completely biyodoy, whether he's going to fulfill or not, so then, with those conditions, the reholds that a person is willing to take on and has a das to take on the negative, the debt, the hischaivus on the side that he ends up not fulfilling. So this is the shita of the Ri. Taisus mevor that according to Rabbi Netam's shita, the first shita, it works out well. Taisus says the shiduchim that we do, and Taisus writes, and this is brought down by the way by many rishonim, by many poiskim throughout the Meshach Hadoyros, is that the practice was that at the time of the shiduch, at the time of what we call the vort today, so they would undertake a mutual hischaivus on each side. The mechutonim on both sides would undertake a chayvus, and they would accept upon themselves that in the event that either side backs out, that he would incur a certain amount of a hefty, they'd have to pay a certain amount to the other party. The Tosfos says, what is the mechayev there? Why isn't it an asmachta? Why don't you say that it's being done at the time of the vort? I'm not thinking at all that I'm going to back out. So l'chayra, it's hoped that you're never going to reach that point. The mele should be an asmachta. The Tosfos says, no, that according to Benetam, shita works out well. Because according to Benetam, as long as the person has a tzad of gaining, so therefore he's willing to take on the possible the other tzad, the tzad of losing, with a full das. And in Meila, Zok Tosfos, that vi balt, that by the time of the shidduch, obviously the person is hoping he's making undertaking a hischaivus that he wants to carry out, and he wants it to lead to a chasana, to a wedding, so there's obviously a tzad of revach. So meila is a full das to undertake the hischaivus, the negative on the tzad you back out. That's the Tosfos is really mavur, in other words, that it works out well according specifically according to the Rabbi Netam, according to him, that a tzad of revach will give you a full das on the tzad of hischaivus. I understand this in the shidduchim that we do. And the Tosfos Rosh over here, however, there's a different mahalach. The Tosa Rosh also discusses the Shidduchim. The Tosa Rosh, however, makes it shtim according to what we have as the Shittas Hari in Tosis, which the Tosa Rosh actually says on his own, which is to say that as long as I have completely biyodi, it's completely in my hands whether I'm going to fulfill or not. And another point, that the negative is chayvus, that I'm being mechayv myself if I don't fulfill, is not a gurma, it's not an exaggerated, an inflated number, but it's really commensurate with whatever loss the other party is incurring. So with those tenuim, then the person has a full heart and it's not a asmachta. And the Tosaf Rosh speaks out that the shidduchim that we do today, which it seems that some people had the practice, they would go in front of the Zion Tuvei Ho'ir, that they would make in front of the chshuvim of the city, they would make it into a very, very formal kinyan with a das gomur. It's actually not, and they had a kinyan in front of Bezdin. So the Tosaf Rosh says it's actually not necessary. Why? It's actually not an asmachta. It's not an asmachta because it's not a guzma. In other words, it's biyodoy to decide whether I'm going to back it or not. And that's A. And B, it's not a guzma, it's not an inflated number, because in other words, it's a very humiliating thing. The other party backs out of the shidduch. And therefore, since it's a very humiliating thing, it makes sense that there should be a large payment that should be paid, because it's a very humiliating, very busha. Therefore, it's not a asmachta, according to the Ri. He's going with the Ri, actually, and he says it's biyotra to decide whether to back out. It's not a guzma number because of the humiliating experience, and therefore, the shidduchim, the tenuim, work out well according to the Derech Ari. That's what the Tosa Rosh says. This yesoid of the Tosa Rosh, which is to say that the person, b'shas, when he's in Kabbalah upon himself, the tenuim at the time of the vort, the time of the engagement, which the tenuim always traditionally included a sum that the person, like a fine, that the person would pay if he backs out, that then is not an asmachta, and it's not a new inflated imaginary number, but rather it's poshut demei boshtoi, it's humiliation, payment. That yesoid the Tosa Rosh says over here is also mavur in a Tosis. Tosis himself actually says it in Bometziyad of Samach Vav, and a Tosis, that he also says the same yesoid, that the yesoid of the Tznoim b'shas ha-shidduch is that it's demei boshtoi. And the Sefer Nachlas Shiva, which is a Sefer, an old Sefer written almost 400 years ago, a very yesoidistic Sefer, which has the Neschois of all the different Storos, and he goes into and speaks about the different Storos. The Nachlas Shiva is an important achron and quoted by the Achronim. The Nachlas Shiva brings down that there were two minhogim that he records, Benegeya, to the making of a Tnoim, B'Shas HaShidduch. There was the minig of Ashkenaz, the German areas, and the minig of Poland, the Polish areas. He says in Ashkenaz, the minig was that into the tznoyim they would write a knas chatzi hanadin ve'em yachzei echad nehatzdodim. In other words, half of the nadin, the b'shas, the engagement of chatonim, would accept upon themselves a certain amount, the nadin that they would give over into the chosen kala, into the new home, and half of the nadin you agree to take upon yourself, you would pay to the other party, the other mechutin, if you back out. That was the minig of Ashkenaz. In the minig of Poland, however, the practice was that they did not write a specific number, and she'ena mechuper zokta b'chor ritzoi kesef. In other words, that there's actually no number that was accepted as a certain sum that you would just pay just that sum if you would back out. Rather, you have to keep on offering more and more and more money until you get the double moichel. And on top of that, you also have to mekabel upon yourself a cheirem, that you'll be put into cheirem. You accept the kindness of a cheirem if you back out. And again, you have to pay up whatever it takes to mirata the other party. And that was the minig in Poland, which was even more chomer than the minig in Ashkenaz. Now, the Nachas Shiva explains the sheish of this machloikas, and he says that both the Rochen, the Minig in Ashkenaz, and the one in Poland, is based upon understanding the aside of the Tosis in Bom Metzia, which actually we have as a Tosis Rosh in our Sugya, which is that when you back out of a Tznoim, what you're paying is called Demei Boshtoi, the payment of the terrible humiliation that you're placing the other party into. But there's two understandings of Nachas Shiva of what the aside of Demei Boshtoi is. So the one way that you could learn the pshat in them is that it's kipshutoi, that it's a terrible humiliation to be back out of a shidduch, and you're paying for the humiliation that the other party went through. However, Zok, that there is a kolboy in Simon Ayin Hay, that the kolboy brings down the toisis in a different way. The kolboy brings down b'shem toisis that the reason you're backing out is because the other party gets humiliated, they get fashemt, and eina yochel limtzoi zivug kol kach kamo b'koydum lochein. In other words, now it's they're not going to get the same value on the shidduch market that they previously had. They won't get the same shidduch as in the past, and therefore you're paying for the push of the specific loss that's incurred, that now the other party won't get the same shidduch that they could previously have gotten, now that they're used, so to speak, goods and that they already went through an engagement that they got banked out. So that's what you're paying for. And it seems that that's the Chashiva writes that the kol by some fit that into the lashon of Tosis, and presumably the Tosis Rosh over here, even though it doesn't fit so well. He understood, in other words, that the word Dmei Boshtei really means the fact that the party is now humiliated and therefore gets less of a shidduch on the shidduch market. Zokt of them, the Nachas Shiva, that these two minhagim, the minig of Ashkenaz and the minig of Poilin, actually depend upon these two drachm of understanding the Tosis. Why? Zokt Erdhoi, because if I learn that the person is now going to let a less shidduch on the shidduch market next time around, that is, Zokt Er, a concrete, specific number that you could put a number on. Obviously, you never really know in each particular specific case what kind of shidduch you get next time around. But in general terms, you could have experts that assess it and be mifboinen, and they'll come up with some kind of number. Next time around, you get a less valuable shidduch, maybe a less rich shidduch, there'll be less money in the shidduch, whatever it is. So mainly you put a specific number, and that was the basis, Zokter, of the minigin Ashkenaz, where they would write a specific number into the tnoim, a knas of a chatzi of the nedunya. That's the pshat in the minigin Ashkenaz. Masha inking Zokter, the minigin poilin, where they consider it to be practically unlimited, and you keep on paying more and more money until the other person moichel you. They didn't even give a ceiling to it. That's because they went with the pshutoi of Tosis, the fact that you put the other party through such a terrible, humiliating experience, and Zokter, this is a terrible personal humiliation that pushed it, that you were engaged, and now the other party backed out. You weren't good enough for them, even after the engagement took place, and that's such a humiliating experience, Zokter, that that's why it's not shayach to put a number on that, and therefore you have to keep on offering payment until the other party, just on their own, agrees to be moichel. So, in other words, that he understands that the two minhagim of the tanoim are based on understanding two different ifanim, two different ways of understanding this inyan that you got, like Tosafot Rosh speaks out here, Tosafot speaks of a metzia, that you got this terrible humiliation. It's a question of how to evaluate or how to figure that this payment of the tanoim is incurred as a result of that humiliation. Now, just to wrap up this inyan briefly, although this is Matnegelin Neneinu, I just wanted to mention, like we already mentioned it actually, that there's many, many achroinim, and it's brought down already in Rishainim, that traditionally there was always two things that a person was makabel upon herself, or had to undergo when they did this breaking of the shidduch. And number one is that they would have to pay a certain amount of money, and there's different minhagim about the money. And number two is that there was a cheiren that was placed on the person. We already mentioned this. It's brought down Gedolei HaPoskim, and a number of Rishonim bring it down. They bring it from Rishonim. The Maharil refers to this cheirem as cheirem hakehilois. In other words, as a cheirem that the communities have enacted, that anybody who backs out of a shidduch is put into some sort of a cheirem. And the kolboy and other Rishonim already bring it down. They refer to it as the cheirem shel takonais kehilois ashidduchim, as a cheirem. And the Noid Yehuda, another achronim bring down, in other words, that these were the two things, two separate things that a person would undergo if they would break a shidduch, is number one, that there was a certain amount of a knas, and number two is that there will be a cheirem hakadmoinim, that's Loshnei Yehudas, and the other achreinim, a cheirem hakadmoinim that will be placed upon this individual. And the Nei Yehuda writes that the trigger moment for this is if it was nigman hashidduch v'nichtivu atnoim, and as the shidduch was finished and the tnoim were written up, so the tnoim contained this idea that you're binding upon yourself, each party, the chotanim bind themselves that they're going to bring chosan kala to the shidduch, and it's going to be brought to fruition with the chasana, and they contain this knas and these stipulations in case it would back out. So it depends on Tolayin, like the Nidavid says, and others say, Nigmar Hashidduch V'nich Devu Atnoim. Today it seems to be that there's a practice that's become quite popular in some kreiser, that in order to get around this problem, because it's a very, very chomadic thing, very, very chomad to break a shidduch, so therefore there would be a practice of not writing any Tnoim B'Shas Devort, which is a really new idea. You don't write any Tnoim. It seems that for Meshach Kol HaDoiris, it's brought in Rishonim, Achreinim, the Poiskim, that they always did write up Tanoim. When there was a vort, they would write up a Tanoim, they would bind, each party bound themselves to go through the Shidduch, etc. But today you have this practice of not writing a Tanoim, and it seems to be, it's Zok. People say that the idea is that now you won't be so chomer to break the Shidduch because you never bound yourself with a Tanoim. In other words, the idea would be, the Nadi Behudah and the Choyim say that what triggers the Choymer of the breaking of the Shidduch is the Tanoim, so that you're not writing a Tanoim, and therefore you don't have this Choymer. Pema said Sorochin, a couple of Nakudas in this. First of all, it's so keen to know if this assumption that people make, that if there's no tanoim, then it's less chomer, you don't have to worry about it, or less worry about it less, if that really has a basis from a Moyer Haram of Furisim. There's a sefer, an interesting sefer in the Yonish Shaduchim called Yavakish Mipihu, which is a psalm of Rav Yashiv, Zechon Levracha. A lot of, many, many psalms of Rav Yashiv in the Yonish Shaduchim and in the Nesumin. So over there, in a number of places, it's brought that there are different cases there. They asked Rav Yashiv about cases in which they had the Vort and it was already Mefurisim, the Chosin Kalar engaged, and there wasn't there the Tznoim, so could you break the Shidduch? And it's Mavur, a number of places over there that Rav Yashiv said in each case that it doesn't help at all. And as long as we're in this parasim that they're engaged, it's the same boishas. He spoke of boishas, the same humiliation. If you break it, then the melech has the same choymer. In one of the psalm over there, it says that the esav of a yoshev, could the person want to break the shidduch? They didn't make a tenoim yet. So it says, moron shlita ona chalila, he found this parasim a shidduch, for the yochel lachza boy. It says chalila. It doesn't make a difference to the tenoim. The shidduch already was in this parasim, and it's impossible to back out. Al blina, they're in the maramakoymis that I write in for this shir. I'll include the tziyun into the vakash mipiyu, and maybe a couple of Lashonis there, where you see Rav Yashiv was not masking b'shum oifin to this thing, that if you, just because he didn't happen to have a tnoim, so therefore the din changes. So that's one thing, Rav Yashiv didn't accept this notion that not writing a tnoim is going to change things. He held it as long as it's misparasim, they had the vort, it was mefurasim, and they're misparasim as chosim akala, so it's the same choymer of breaking the shidduchim. Hakoponim, if a shayla comes up, fashteisuch, one consults with a rov, and a moyer hiro. But while the whole practice that people don't write tnoim, when it's in crisis, they don't write tnoim today, by a vort is a very big chiddush in itself, because the minig, it's, you see it klar in all the poskim and meshach of doiros and centuries, what that they always had tnoim at a vort. That was the practice. There was the, and to say chiddush b'chaltim evatlet. When I got engaged years back, so the goy in the reshiva of Detroit and Havracha, Reb Leib Bakst, came to the vort, and he said, okay, so let's write up the tnoim. So people said, they're a bit nervous, don't want to write the tnoim. So he overwrote all the objections. He took out a pen and paper, and he wrote up a tnoim himself by hand, and he had the mechutonim sign it, and the Chosin Kala signed it, and we still have it. And he spoke, that's what he spoke at the Vort, about the importance of writing a Tnoim, and the Mekabal Achrayas, and the whole Indian that the Chasin is a Kabal Achrayas, Mitzah the Chosin and the Kala, and the Messiah of Klal Yisrael to write a Tnoim. On Amud Beis, the Gemara speaks of the tshuva that Shaiach to do for the different psulim in the Mishnah. They should become kosher once again, la'edus and for the Yonus. And the Gemara speaks of Masachah Bekuvia, l'moshul, that the gambler is a Masachah Bekuvia. So the tshuva that they would do would be when they talk choizim and gansin from gambling, etc. And it says, Misha yishbru es pispiseihim, when they'll break, when they'll smash the markers that they were using to gamble. So that's an indicator that they did the complete tshuva. The Chazon Yecheskel and Tosefta, Reb Chaskel Abramsky over here, has a diuk in the Loshen of the Sefta by Masachah Bekuvia, and it said the Sefta says Chazru Bohem Ksheirim, that if they were Chayzer and they did the Shuva, so then they're going to be Kosher, La'edus, La'onus, etc., La'edus. And the Chavruch Haskel Abramsky Esakashi, he says that why in the world is it a Chiddush that the Sefta has to speak out that Chazru Bohem Ksheirim is Ke'ilu, I would have named on that Chazru Bohem is not Ksheirim, what, that they became forever and ever apostle from having once been gamblers, a fool as Shuva, it wouldn't even help. Mechtesi to say that Zokta, he said Masachah Bekuvia is Psul Rabbanon, and we find even by Psul Deraisa, for Psul Machmas Aver Deraisa, the halacha is klorzokte, that if the chosav it shuvah, then the halacha they become kosher. So Kolshkein, Masahav Kuvia, which is only the Rabbanon. So what in the world is the Chiddush, the Sefta, frak there, that says that chosav him ksheirim, the Masahav Kuvia, as if I would somehow have thought perhaps that they would have been possible. So Rav Abramsky suggests a big Chiddush in the Pshat and the Sefta, and he says that it could be the Sefta when it says chosav him ksheirim doesn't mean what you might think, that from now on, Mikan Vaholo, Hainton and Vaiter, if they'll see any further Edus from here on and in, they'll be able to testify about the Edus that they'll see in the future. That Taka Zok there is Poshit. It wouldn't be a Chiddush. I know that if they do Tshuva and they see something from here on and in, they could testify about it. Rather, Zok there, the Chiddush would be a very big Chiddush, that even if they saw Edus, they saw the Edus at the time when they were still Masachim Bakovi and they were Chirub Sulim at the time of the Re'iyah, of the Re'iyah Sedus, when they saw it, which Gevaitlach Zok there, the Halacha is by Edim, usually. That the halacha is that you have to be kosher mitchilosoy vasoyfoy bekashrus, tchilosoy vasoyfoy bekashrus. He has to be kosher besides the kosher aid, sai b'shas teriyah and sai b'shas tehagod of a bezdin. Both time have to be the aid of the aid kosher. So over here, I would have thought, that if it was Masach of the Kufi b'shas, when he saw the aid, so even if he did shuva, he won't be able to imagine that hagod of aid in bezdin because it's not tchilosoy vasoyfoy bekashrus. So on that, he wants us to say a chiddush.
Jewish, that Rav Abramsky, that the Sefta, when it says Chodvim Ksherim, means that the kosher after Chazora, to be made and testify in Bezdin, even about that which they saw, Beshas, when they're still Masachim of Kuvia. Why should that be, Taka? Zokter, what's the difference? Geventlecha, you're never saying that. By Psuli Eidus, you always say that if he was Apostle Eid, Beshas, when he saw it, he can't testify later, even when he's kosher. Zokter, because you could tie into that like this, that Vibalt that we hold, that the Iker passes of Masachim of Kuvia is like Rav Sheish as a Shitta, because they're not Oisek, be Yeshuva Shal Oilom, and therefore, like Rashi says, we quoted the Rashi yesterday, they don't have respect for other people's money, they don't have an understanding of what it is to take money seriously, and therefore the lie about the money. So that's what Rashi said. So Meila Zokt of them, if Abramsky, the Yikotaina, that Meila, if that's the whole concern, then this Paslus of the aid is not a Psul Haguf in the Eidus. It's not like he's a Rosho, it's not like he's a Gazlan. It just happens to me that we don't accept the Maisa Hagoda from him because we think he may not be taking this aid seriously. But the aid be a soida of gavra of mensch, the aid is an aid kosher. He doesn't have a halois shem soul stamped on him. He didn't do this maisa aveir like a gzeil or something which would make him into an aid puzzle. He's not an aid puzzle. But since he doesn't take money seriously, we don't accept the Haggadah says. We bought that he had a shem of an aid kosher on himself at the time, just not that his statement is not accepted, but he's be a soida aid kosher. So therefore, if Shbeta later on he does the tshuva, and now he does take money matters seriously, and now he'll take it seriously when he speaks in Bezdin. So therefore, we could accept that Haggadah in Bezdin, and we don't have a problem of Tulasa the Sefer Kashrus, because be a soida, in terms of his label, he had a shem kosher label, B'shas the Re'iyah, even though it happens to be that he would not have accepted his statement at the time because he was a Masacha B'kuvya. Zokter Abramsky, that works out very well, and that could be a shayr for Pshat in the Tesefta, that Chozru also Tshuva is Ksherim, in other words, that he's kosher even to testify what he saw B'shas when he was puzzled. But Zokter is only going to work according to Rashashis, which is the Ikal Halacha. According to Ram Bachama, will never work, because Ram Bachama learns that the Pshat in Masacha B'kuvya is that it's a smacht, and a smacht is not coin. It's a comes that according to Ram Bachama, he has a mamish an equivalent of a gazlon, this Masacha B'kuvya, because he takes that which isn't coming to him, as such, macht is not coin. So maybe that is a psula guf. And according to Muhammad, we'll never be able to mask him to learn that the Sefta is saying such a thing, that which you saw when you're Sacha B'kuvya, you could testify to later in Bezdin if you already did Tshuva. And Muhammad will never agree to that, because according to him, that the Sacha B'kuvya is a psula guf. He's equivalent of a gazlon, and maybe therefore we would need Chosas of the Kashas. And according to Muhammad, he'd only be kosher from Hainton and Vaiter, from new things that he sees from here on and in, those things that he sees after the Tshuva, be able to testify to them. Likewise, as Dr. Abramsky, you could say a similar vort, a similar deher, in the sugya in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Aleph. In Shavuos Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara discusses the din of Shavuos Ha'edus, the din if a person knows testimony to assist in somebody else, to help somebody, and he fails to take it, to say the testimony, he accepts an oath that he doesn't know the testimony, makes a Shavua. So later on, when you admit and you do the Tshuva, you have to bring a Korban Shavua. We mentioned this yesterday. So over there, the Gemara brings down, when you get to the din of the Korban Shavua, there's 2 days in the Gemara there, 2 days in the Sugya, 2 opinions, Benegeya to a person who taka new Edus for somebody else, and he refused to say it with a Shavua, but he was at the time a Masach B'kuvya. So since he was a Masach B'kuvya at the time, his Eidus would not have been accepted in any event. Consequently, perhaps, even if he took a Shavua, a false oath, that he doesn't know the Eidus, perhaps he's part of a Korban Shavua later on, since he was apostle anyway at the time, and couldn't have come into Bezin and testify. Or, says the Gemara Yikataina, that Vibalt, the Masach B'kuvya, is only a Psul Drabbana B'alma, and that the Raisa level, you're perfectly good aid. So therefore, if the person who knows the Eidus, he's just Masach B'kuvya, if he takes the full Shavua that he doesn't know it, then he denies it, so later on perhaps he will have to bring a Korban Shavua. Zokt of them, the Rav Abramsky, that it could be that this Shaila is totally in this Chakir that we just spoke of. If I learn that Masach B'kuvya, the Dindar Rabbana Masach B'kuvya is Matl Hashem Psul on the Gavra, it's Matl Hashem, makes the person with Hashem Psul, which Zokt is actually true, according to Ram Bachoma, who holds in it's an asmachta, and therefore it makes it into a gezel. So therefore, Zokter, if I learn like that, some say that's a gezel d'avrim, but asmachta, be that as it may, it has a shem gezel, and the person has a shem gazlan, and therefore, consequently, the person was mamash achaloyth shem pasal aid at the time, and therefore, he wouldn't perhaps have to bring korban shvua if he denies at that time that he knows the aidus, because he was a shem of apostle aid. Ayla maisa, he's able to do tshuva, and is able to come and to say that testimony. Only if he'll do the tshuva, he'll be able to come and perhaps and be made. Zokt of them named, but Viba belt that the person may have is a shem posel, he's an eight posel, so therefore there's no din korban shvuah on such a person. But if I hold like Rav Sheshes, like we said in Rav Sheshes, that it's just a din yinat oisik b'yeshuvah shel oilam, which is not a psul in the gavra, it doesn't label the person as a posel aid. It just happens to be metzius that Bezin doesn't accept his testimony because they think he's not taking money matters seriously. So therefore, if it doesn't passel the mensch, so you're Bezin b'yosayde in eight kosher. Moreover, you actually have the ability to come in and Bezin and testify, provided that you got the trouble of doing tshuva. You do tshuva, you change your ways in Gantz, and then you'll be able to come in and testify. So you're technically an eid kosher, and you have the yichayus to come in and testify by going through the press of a tshuva. So that could be the upshot. And the other man, Dama, Zakhtar Abramsky, that held that a Masach of a Kuvya who denies with a tshuva that he knows any eiders is going to have to later on bring a korban tshuva, because a label of a kosher he does have, lefir of sheishes, and an ability to testify he actually also does have, because he could come in, he could do his tshuva and then come in and testify. So maybe that's why that man Dama could hold that Zakhtar, that the person is not passel, not pattered from a korban shvua based upon the fact that he took the false oath that he didn't know b'shas when he was in Masach HaBekuvya, because Masach HaBekuvya doesn't relabel you as apostle. Now there are more in Chosh and Mishpat and some Lama Dalet brings down this din of the Masach HaBekuvya does tshuva and wants to be accepted as an aid. So Ramah brings down the Yeish Oyun that there are those that say that by Masach HaBekuvya he's going to have to return all of the ill-gotten gains, all the gambling gains, hopefully he has records of it, return all the gambling gains that he made on gambling, and only after he returns all the money, only then is he going to be able to be accepted as tshuva and to be kosher aid once again. What's the mocker of this Yeish Oyun in the Ramah, this day that holds that you have to return all the money in order to be accepted? So there, in the parentheses there in the Ramah, it says Beis Yosef Hashem Horosh Perek Zaboyer. In other words, a rush in the sugya, there's a quote by the Beis Yosef that indicates that the Gazan wants, I'm sorry, the Masach HaBekuvya wants to do tshuva, it only is provided that he returns all the ill-gotten gains. The Sma over there on that Ramah is Matniya Ba'arichos on this Ramah, and he says that there's no such rush. And not only there's no such rush, but the rush actually is Mavur Lehepach. Why? He says, because if you have to read the rush carefully, what the rush actually says over there, so that what the rush really says is Mavur, that it's actually rush in our sugya, in Simen Yud. And the Rosh says that a Masach HaBekuvya, whether or not he's going to have to return all the money he made, if he wants to do tshuva, actually depends on whether I paskin that asmachta kanya or asmachta loy kanya. That says, if I learn that the problem with Masach HaBekuvya is that it's an asmachta, you never owned that money, you're a gazan on the money. So if I say, you have to return that money, all the money you got, you have to return in order to be able to be accepted with tshuva, because it's pashat gbondes that isn't yours and you're holding on to shalikadin. Masha inkin, the Rosh is mashma, that if I would hold a Machta Kanya. So then there'll be no need to return the money if the only problem is that I'm not Yosik B'Yeshuvah Shal Oilam, I don't take money matters seriously, etc., etc. If those are the issues, then I'll kopana, the money is mine and I have no need to return it when I want to do the Shuvah. That's what comes out of the Rosh. It's Meduyak in his Loshan. And Melu Zakta Sna, V'belt that we pass in the Iker like Rav Sheshes. That's the place can come out. The Iker like Rav Sheshes is that the Iker, it's not a real problem with the Smachta, and the whole problem is that you're not Yosik B'Yeshuvah Shal Oilam. So there's actually no need to return the money. That's what comes out of the Rosh. And contrary to the Ramos, paskening the Yesh Oimrim, that there is a need to return that money, and that the parentheses in the Ramos, which you have to know who wrote that, but the parentheses says, Beis Yosef Beshem HaRosh. So it's a very shver Ramos, particularly if his mocker is from the Rosh, since we don't paskin that the gambling is considered to be an asmachta. And the Bir HaGrof, a note over there in Shulchan Aruch, it's Mavur, that the Goin expresses his opinion that the mocker of the Shitas Ramos here, the Yesh Oimrim, that you have to dafka return all your money that you got in order to do tshuva from the gambling, that is not from the Rosh. And again, the truth is we never really know who writes these parentheses into these Ramos. They're not really reliable. The Goyen says that in his opinion, the mocker of that Shita is the Shita of the Rambam, because the Rambam says, and we mentioned it yesterday, that the Rambam says that we paskin that a person who was gambling, so his ill-gotten gains are considered to be an avak gezel medivreihem. That's the Loshen that the Rambam that we spoke of yesterday, an avak gezel. It's like a dust of a gezel. So since it's an avak gezel, it has a shem gzeil on it, the Goyen says, and that's the mocker why the Ramot says that Yeshem, you're going to have to return it, because according to the Shitas HaRambam, is an Avak Gezel, it's like considered to be a Gzela, and a Mela, therefore, it's a Daf can be returned. So that's what he's saying, that the mocker of the Ramot comes from this Rambam about the Avak Gezel. However, the Uvda is, the fact is, that it's going to the very, very Bechidish, particularly in light of what we were speaking about yesterday, in Pshat in this Rambam. And the Uvda, the fact is, in the Sivus HaMishpat, Namash on the page over there, in Sevkot and Lamed Zayin, actually brings the Loshen of the Rambam, Avak Gezel. He brings the exact same Lashon as the Goyin goes with. Avak Gezel, like the Lashon of Rambam, and the Sivis is Mavur Klor, that he says that the Sma is very, very bothered by this Ramo. It's not tiny that he simply don't pass in the Pamana Smachta here, and it's not in your hands Alt Gezel or anything. So therefore, Zokter, there should be no need to return that money in order to do Tshuva. Zokter, Afilu, you call it Avak Gezel is not a reason to have to return it. And that's he uses to explain the Sma. So it's Mavur in the Nesivis that he goes out of his way, and he brings down the Lashon HaRambam, the exact same Lashon HaRambam that the Goyin went with, Avak Gezel. The Rambam calls it Avak Gezel, and therefore the Goyin says, according to Rambam, it's good that you are going to have to return it if you want to do Tshuva, because we're calling it a Gezel. And on that, the Nesivis Mavur, Punkt Lehepach, Avak Gezel, the dust of a Gezel, it's said that it's not a real Gezel, and Mela, therefore, even though you shouldn't really have taken it from him, nonetheless, it's in your hands. Once it's in your hands, there's no Shum Chiv to return it. It's considered to be in your hands Kedin, even though the receiving of it wasn't right. And Mela, therefore, you're not a Chiv to return it. And the Sivit says that even on that side of Avak Gezel, in other words, it means even according to the Rambam, the Ramo's Psak is still very Shver, and he's going with the Achim who argue on the Ramo, and there is no Shum Din, no Shum requirement to return the money of the gambling in order to do the Tshuva. And in fact, Pashtas, it would appear that the Nesivis' gang, the Nesivis' approach over here, to treat the words of Ramah Avak Gezel, that it's not a true Gezel, it really fits more with the Pashtas of the words and more with what the Derech that we spoke about yesterday. In the Shitas HaRambam, it's not considered to be a true Gezel, but we still consider it wrong to have been taken. The Ramah says it was taken by Derech Schoik Vehissel, as you might remember yesterday. It doesn't seem to be a true Gezel, but Akapanim, it's taken a wrongful way, and therefore the way the Nesivis learns in the Pashtas and the Achroinim is that a true Gezel it's not. A Chiv to return you don't have, but Alpha B. Cain, it's still wrong that it got there into your hands. The Gemara goes on to say that a Metzias Cheir Shoit V'Kotan is a found object that was found by a deaf mute, by an insane, by a minor. These are people who don't have Das and can't be kind at the Raitza level. So they find a Metzias, and what if you stole the Metzias from them? So are you considered to be a Ganav Benegea, Gazlan Benegea, to be getting passed from Edus and Dayonis in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says that originally they held that you're not considered to be Puzzle. It doesn't passel you the fact that you took the Metzias in the Cheir Shoit V'Kotan, which is in the Rabbonon that they're allowed to hold on to and it's considered theirs. So originally they felt that stealing that Metziah from the Cheresh of the Cotton won't parcel you, either because it's not Shchiach to have these, the whole thing is the Rabbanon and it's not Shchiach altogether to have these Metziah Cheresh of the Cotton, so therefore the Rabbanon weren't goyzer on you to parcel you. One of the other approach in the Gemara is that the whole reason why the Cheresh of the Cotton get to keep it is in the Darke Shaloim Ba'almahu. In other words, that really Be'etzem, there's no din that they should be able to hold on to it. But Vibal Tachazawu Masakein, Darke Shaloim, Chazal didn't want tremendous fights and wars to come about as a result of the fact that anybody could have grabbed the stuff away from the Cheresh of the Cotton, Chazal Masakein as Darke Shaloim, that therefore the Cheresh of the Cotton get hold on to it. So the Kohanim, it's not an Issachomor, it's not a true Gezel, it's just a Darke Shalom Halacha, and therefore we were originally assuming, says the Gemara, that a Metzias Cheresh of the Cotton, which you shouldn't grab, but if you do grab it, you don't become Pa'osel for Edus and Dayan. However, subsequently, that the Gemara that they changed their mind because they saw Saf Mamoinehu, the Koshakli, and therefore Pasi Rabbanah. Ultimately, it is money that you're taking away from him. It's considered a monetary act of taking money, and therefore the Rabbanan decided to passel the individual who grabbed the Messias Cheresheit of a cotton. In the Shiri, Reb David Pavarsky over here, he tells us that Be'etzem, it would seem to be a very big chiddush that there should be a shak of a tarya like this in the Gemara. That originally, the Gemara says that the Rabbanan were assuming that even though there's an issa to take the Metziah from the Cheresheit of a cotton, but if you do take it from him, it's not such a big deal. It's only a dark shalom, it's not a chomedic thing, and we hold originally that we won't passel you. The Zokter of Pavarsky, that Be'etzem, this throughout the sugyas, we always nemon, that even a very Rabbanan does suffice to make a person be considered to be a Rosh and Pasul Eidus L'Shvu. We don't say since it's only the Rabbanon, it's not a problem and it doesn't pass on you. So Vasep is why not go over here by the case of the Messias Cheresheit V'Kotten. Why is it different? Ultimately, Sof Kol Sof, the Rabbanon had their reasons. They were worried about Shalom and Machloikas, Darke Shalom. So they said that you're not allowed to take it from him. So it's considered his mid Rabbanon. And therefore, L'chora, it should be obvious that it's Issa the Rabbanon which is going to pass on you. What was the Shak of Ataria in the Gemara all about? So Pavarsky is Mechadish based upon this question. He says that when Chazal Masakin over here, that Nedarke Shalom, because of the ways of peace, you're not allowed to take away the Metziah from the Cheresheit of the Cotton. It does not mean, Zokter, like we would perhaps have thought, Kipshutoi, that the Rabbanon of Masakein, because of the Darke Shalom, the Masakein, that therefore the Cheresheit of the Cotton have some sort of a kinyan in it. And therefore, the Rabbanon, the Kotten of the Rabbanon that we consider to be theirs, therefore, that you're not allowed to take it away. But the Rabbanon, if the moment that I am on Zokter, the Chazal Masakein, some sort of a kinyan, the Rabbanon, that the Cheresheit of the Cotton have, even if the reason is only the Darke Shalom, it becomes perfectly obvious that that's going to passel you with the Rabbanon, Raidus and Shvur, by doing a very Gemura with the Rabbanon. You have to learn, Zok, there, that the Darkei Shalom Takana is just a din, Chazal Amasakan, the Pu'ula of the Mensch, that you are not allowed to do the Pu'ula of taking the object that was found by the Chesh of the Cotton, even though they don't own it, and even after the Takana's Chazal of the Darkei Shalom, they vaiter don't own it, the Chazal are not Masakan it, that becomes the Chesh of the Cotton, but they are Masakan it on the Mais and Atila that you as an adult, as a Bar Das, are not allowed to take away the Abish of the Chesh of the Cotton as if it would be his, even though it's not his Afilah Amon. And that's why Zakhar Pavarsky, we can understand very well the Hamid Maskana, because the Hamid held that Lamaisa, even though you shouldn't have taken it and you took it, the fact is this in no way is comparable to a true ghetto, even at the Rabbanon level, because then it's not at all belong to the Chesh of the Cotton, not even the Rabbanon. It's time you did a Pa'ula that you shouldn't have done. You did a Pa'ula of taking it from them. Chazal didn't want you to take it and you took it. But is that so chomer, in other words, that it's going to pass on me from being an Eder or a Dayan? The Gemara held that no, because it's not even his money, even after the Takanas Chazal comes along. Then it's what the Gemara knows, that Saf Kol Saf Amayin Shaka Minei. In other words, that it does have the same Metzius as all of the Metzius and of unlawfully taking money. The fact is that it's not allowed to be taken, it's in his hands, in his grasp, and I took it away. So therefore, Chazal included that in the Maskana, he included that in that cases which are going to be to make it possible if you take the money unlawfully, even though technically there's no actual kinyan at all. Even the Abanon, that's what Pavarsky says, for the Chesh Shayt V'Kotten. It's not to Pavarsky that the emes is that if you look in Gittin Daf Nun Tes in the Mishnah, and the Sugya over there is on Gittin Daf Samach Aleph, that's Mavur Klor in the Mishnah, that there's a Machloikas Abanon and a Biyasi about this point. And the law, it says over there, the Masir is Chesh Shayt V'Kotten, you're not allowed to take it away. That which a Chesh Shayt V'Kotten finds, Mipenei Dar Kei Sholim, because to uphold the ways of peace, Chazal HaMasakein, you can't take away from them. Rabbi Yossi says that no, it's considered to be a full-fledged gezeila if you take it from them, and therefore, like Rashi speaks out, you could even moit some of the yonim, and then the yonim will take it away from the grabber. So it's a machlokes today is in the Mishnah, and the Gemara over there in the Samach Aleph explains that even according to Rabbi Yossi, that gezel gomor, he just means gezel gomor mi divrehem. That means that both Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama both agree to the same yesoid, that the Messias Cheresh Shoit of the Koton is not considered on the Raisa level to be there, and for sure you're not over to the Raisa if you take it. But Afal Pi Kain, if you do take it, you did an Avera. Which Avera? So Rabbi Yossi holds that the Gezel Gomer Midivrehem is much considered the Exel on the Abana level. Why did the Abana hold? They hold you can't take it, you're not allowed to take it, but if you do take it, it's not a Maisa of the Gezel Gomer. So Pavarsky said that actually works that very well with what seems to emerge with the Abana over here. That says the way of Pavarsky is learning it up, it's not considered a Gezel Gomer Midivrehem because the Abana hold that it was never a Kenyan that was at all given over to the Cheresh Shoit V'Kotten in the Heft. So even the Rabbanon, they never gave him a Kenyan. They just made it. They didn't Rabbanon that nobody's allowed to take it away from out of their grasp. But it's not theirs. So consequently, it stems very well the idea of the Rabbanon is not a Gezel Gomer. And a mail that comes out of Rashi over there in Gittin that if you do take it unlawfully, you're not mechuyev to give it back, which also stems. Because it's not his. It's not his even the Rabbanon. So what are you mechuyev to give it back? It's only according to Bianchi that he holds with the Rabbanon that they made it into a Gezel, and it is considered to be his a Kenyan in the Rabbanon. Therefore, there will be a din to give it back on the Rabbanon level. Now, Emes, the truth is that the Rashash over there in Gittin asks a bomb kasha on the Rashi over there in Gittin Daf Samach Aleph. The Rashash asks on Rashi over there that Rashi says that even according to Rabbi Yossi, Vibalt, that it's only a Gezel Midrabbanon, not the Raisa. So therefore, Rashi gives two nefkeminis that come out of Rabbi Yossi that it's only a Gezel Midrabbanon. One is that if you're over on it, you don't become possible either, so that's number one. And two is that if you're over on this Gezel, you're not over on a loisa se gomor. Now, for say so, the second thing Rashi says is correct. If it's only the din d'rabbanon, you're not over on a loisa se gomor. But what's the first thing Rashi says, Dr. Rashash, that since it's only the d'rabbanon, so therefore the person who's over on it doesn't become possible edus. So the Rashash says it's the hebacha gomor of what emerges mafurish in the sugya by us over here in Sanhedrin of Chav Hei. Over here, the gomor is mafur that not only in Rabbi Yossi who holds that it's a gezel gomor to take the metziah from the cheresh of the cotton, but even in the d'rabbanon that the gemara is mavur the Rabbanon, we did have to start them in it, but the final tzad, the final maskana we came at, is that even according to the Rabbanon, ultimately you did take money from this person, and therefore there is a din the Rabbanon that if you do that unlawfully, you take the Mitzvah Chesh V'Kotten from the Chesh of the Kotten, so you become possible. Eidos, even at the Rabbanon Shita, and Kavach Chaymin Rabbi Yossi, who holds it at the Rabbanon level, it's considered to be a Gezel Gomer. So, frankly, the Rashash, it's a plea gedoyla on the Rashi over there, in Gittin, the Rashi says that even according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't become possible. Eidos. Zok the Rashash, a big Kiddush. But the Rashi says you must learn that the Pshat and the Rashi over there is that you don't become possible the Eidos mi de oiraisa if you grab them at Siv and Chesh the cotton. Rashi is a vada maskim to what emerges from our Sugya that there is a din derabonon that you become possible the Eidos mi derabonon, but on the oiraisa level you don't become possible the Eidos. And then it's important for Rashi to speak out like the Rashi because there are actually two nafkaminos between becoming possible the Eidos mi deraisa and poning possible the Eidos derabonon. So Rashi had to speak the thing out. One afkemina zok there is when it gets with you need hachroza to become possible that we'll see later on in the perik of Mitzvah Shem that the person coming possible edus to abonon is only after bezin is machriz they announce that he's possible only then is he possible not before so that's one afkemina it's not the raisa so you're not possible after possible until after the announcement and secondly zok the rashash is when it gets to edus isha that's a special isha the edus that the isha was mesbaila that her husband died which one aid suffices and even eight possible certain types of eight possible suffices as well so therefore. It's like the Rashash, that the eight posel deraisa would not be kosher to say for a lady that mess vayla. Eight posel d'abonah would be kosher. And that's why Rashi has to speak out, because of these nafgaminas, Rashi has to speak out that the person who was over on taking the Messiah Chesh as a cotton is only over the abonah, not the raisa, and therefore is not on the raisa level, has not become posel from saying Eidus. Now, Pavlansky adds, he lays to one Nakuda, which is interesting. Now, Pavlansky said that his opinion, he believes that what the Kavanah of this Rashi, based on the Rashash, is like this. That as we know, that this is not for now, but there's a very, very big deal in the Achroin, in this way and that way, Benigeya, to when Chazal take money away from one party and give it to another, for, based on whatever kind of Takonas Chazal, or Gzeres Chazal, or whatever made the Dindu Abonah they made, to take money from one person and give it to another, so does that money become the property of the recipient of Philo on the Torah level, Beit and Hefker, Beit and Hefker. And there's a big, big machlokes v'shayin, machlokes v'shayin about this point. And some do learn that once the Rabbanon enact, and once they get involved to make the Xerius Takonis, and they take the money from Ploini and give it to Almoini, so since they have the Echoilus, the Koyach, with Hefker, Beit and Hefker, it becomes even the Reisa level, the property of the recipient. Zokter Pavarsky, he says in his opinion, the Pshat and the Rashi is over there, is that even if I'm going to name unusually that Geveintloch, I'll take money for whatever Takonah reason, take it from one party, give it to another, it becomes the property of the recipients of filu mid oiraisa. And therefore, I could have had a hava amin over here, Zokter Pavarsky, that according to Rabbi Yossi, the holds over there, that there is a gazel gomad rabbanon. So therefore, I might have thought that the rabbanon utilized their powers of hefker bez and hefker, and they give it kol kula completely into the hands of the chereshay of the cotton, that's there's even a Torah, and if you steal, you're over on a deraisa perhaps, because Chazal made the takona and the deraisa level, because the takona they made the deraisa level din that they gave it over the chersh of the cotton. So I would have thought that you do become a gazan deraisa by taking it from them. Then Zok Rashi says Pavarsky. Then Zok Rashi that no, the Rabbanon did not go to such a choimer over here, even in the Biyasi. In the Rabbanon, they were not even masakin any din of bailus at all for the cotton, for the chersh of the cotton. They just made a din that you are not allowed to take it from them because the Dak is shown, but it doesn't become theirs. But even in the Shitas of Biyasi, the Biyasi argues on that and he holds that there is a pesachin in the Rabbanon. Zok to Pavarsky, what the Rashi over there means to bring out is that Chazal did not go the whole 9 yards. He didn't go the entire measure of taking away the Bailum from the original Bailum and Gansen giving it to the Chesh of the Kotan at the Raisa level. All they did was gave it Episode of Shus Durabonon that you have on it, a Bailus Durabonon. And since it's only a Bailus Durabonon, so therefore, if you take it from them, you're not a Gazan Duraisa, only a Gazan Durabonon with all the ramifications. Even if I name that in other cases they have the ability and they use the ability to make the property transfer on the higher level into the hands of the makabel, the recipient. Over here, it's only Darkei Shalom, it's only Metzias Chesh HaKotten, and therefore they didn't give it Kokuloi completely, higher level, into the hands of the Kodesh HaKotten, even if I hold like a B.I.C. The Gemara goes on later in the Omud and says regarding the Chamsonim, which is people who take an item and pay for it, but they take it forcibly for themselves, they just pay for it, that originally the Rabbanon Hill, we never originally named on that we're not going to pass all the Chamsonim from Eidus or from Dayonis by virtue of being a Chamson. But later on, they changed their mind, and later on they said that a Chamson as well is also considered to be Pasol the Eidus. So why? What was the original thinking? So the Gemara says originally they thought that the Chamson is paying after all, and he's just on an intermittent basis, a Kroy Bialma, and he is after all paying, so therefore it's not so bad, and they wouldn't pass the Chamson. And some soif they saw, Chosat took a Chotfi, they saw they were grabbing it, and therefore Gazibu Hurabonon. The one is a little unclear about what the difference is between the Ham and the Maskana. It seems that Rabbanon realized some new Metzius, which is what changed their thinking. They saw that was being grabbed. So what's the Pshat in this new Metzius, this new circumstance that was Nisoyre to the Rabbanim. So Rashi and the Adrama also learns this way. Both of them speak out that this is what the Chachamim learn into them and what emerges from their words, Rashi and the Adrama, that originally the Rabbanim were assuming that the Chamson is holding a gun to the head of the recipient, where he's forcing the Ma'anis, the recipient, in some manner, and he's telling him that I'm forcing you to sell this thing, and that the recipient was actually saying Roitzani. He's getting money, you're giving him the money, and he's getting the money, and he's saying Roitzani because he's being forced into it. And there the klal is, it's like Tolyo Vezovin, which is Vini Zvini. If the person is forced and he's receiving the money, so then the person ultimately has a Rotzoin, which is why originally the Rabbanim weren't going to pass the Chamsonim, because even though they're doing something which is wrong, it's not a Gzeilin anyway, since ultimately the person is a Gemiras Das, and he accepts upon himself the transaction. However, it's from Soif, the Rabbanim saw, that means that instead of holding the gun and forcing the person till he says Roitzani and handing the money to him, instead of that they were just grabbing him and dumping the money in front of him, and they weren't eliciting any kind of a statement of Roitzani, which means it actually was a Maisik Zeilu, because some Soif and the Maskana, they're not getting any Roitzani, they're taking it unlawfully. So even though they're paying money, it's still unlawful taking, and therefore that's when the Rabbanan determined that they're going to make this din, the Rabban, this din to passel the Chamson from being an aid. Rav Zalman Pavarsky points out over here in the Shiurim that even though that's the Shita of Rashi, nonetheless it appears that Toisis, Akopanam, at least in one side in Toisis, that Toisis did not assume that even in the Hava Amina that the Rabbanon believed that there was a Roitza Ani, and actually according to at least one side in Toisis, the Rabbanon had no such idea that there was a Roitza Ani, that they didn't want to pass Lechamson because of the fact that he's taking but he's giving money. And that itself was a Siva in the eyes of the Rabbanon originally to not pass him because he's taking and giving the money. Where do you see this in the Toisis? So the Emes Tais over here asks Akasha that even in the original matzav, the original circumstance, when they see that you're taking and you're giving money, etc., the fact Tais is a lift some of the eraisa, the ko'avar alav the leisachmoid. What about the fact that you're being oivan leisachmoid? It's granted that, let's say, it's not exeilu because you're paying, etc., but what about the fact that you're being over on leisachmoid? Leisachmoid is one of the loisachmoid and seres hadibrois, that you're not allowed to covet somebody's thing, which we know, actually, the yisod, the big yisod in leisachmoid, the leisachmoid is not like loisachmoid. Leisachmoid is just the matzav of desiring the lev. But leisachmoid means to desire to the point that you forcibly take it, and that's leisachmoid. And Taisa's tain is that vibalt, even if they're paying lechayra, what's the difference? They're still being over lechayra on leisachmoid, and therefore that itself is a leisach segomba, which ought to make them into a rosh and possible leidus, even in the havamin. That's Taisa's kasha. What did the havamin do with the leisachmoid? It's infant the Taisa's tuturutim. One teretz, Taisa says, is that leisachmoid does not apply in a case in which the person is giving money for it. Only if you don't give the money. I zok that the Gemara b'metzia daf hey is mashma not like that, because the Gemara says leisachmoid beloy demei mashma lehu. In other words, that people think lehu. People think that leisachmoid doesn't apply if you pay money. It's mashma the Gemara lefiho emes leisachmoid does apply even if you pay money. So how does that stem with what we're saying here? We're suggesting leisachmoid doesn't apply unless you don't pay. The Taisa says it could be that the Gemara is loved. And what the Gemara means is that people think and actually are correct, that they have a correct perspective. Leisachmoid only applies if you don't pay money and not if you do. That's the first derech and the toisis. The second derech and the toisis is that really leisachmoid does apply even if you pay the money. However, over here they were grabbing it, but they were holding out money and they were being mefayes, the recipients. They were appeasing them or eliciting from them the statement of roitzani, and the recipients were saying roitzani, and once they have their expressed this not sign, so therefore at that point you know all longer of over on leisachmoid, because they were saying roitzani. Akavani, you see in the Toisis that Toisis was not assuming as a given that the recipients were saying roitzani just in order to explain why the Rabbanan didn't passel them off the chomos and on the gezel in the Hamad of the Gemara. Toisis wasn't going contrary to Rashi and the Yadrama, who assumed anyhow that the recipients were saying roitzani, and that's why the Rabbanan didn't originally passel them. In Toisis that was not a given, but Toisis does have a tzad to say that they were saying roitzani for a different reason, to get around the problem of leisachmoid, because in one side of Taisa we hold that there's always leisachmoid unless the recipient says roitzani. Now the truth of the matter is that we find machlokes rishonim between the Rambam and the Ravid and Hilchos Kseil of Aveda, then again to the tzir in a person, if he's over leisachmoid, in a case where I covet that which somebody else has, I want it for myself, I grab it and I give him money and I coerce him to the point I elicit from him a statement of roitzani, which we know that Chazal tell us that But if a person says roitzani, and if he's getting the money, so then ultimately it does elicit a gemiras das that after the fact he already accepted upon himself that even though perhaps it wasn't chatchilah going to sell it, but now I'm getting the money and he's being forced, held over the barrel. So therefore, the person has a rotzen shalem and he willingly, so to speak, has a full das to give it over when he gives it over. So that's if you say roitzani. Nonetheless, the Rambam and Rav have a machloikis if a person is over on leisachmoid in a case with the so-called giver says roitzani. The Ravid speaks at Beferish over there that in the event that you grab it from him, you give him the money, and he says roitzani, you're forced him to say roitzani, you're not even over on leisachmoid because he had a rotzain and he had a das and he willingly gave it over. However, the Rambam is beduik and the various leisachaylim all make the deal over there that the Rambam understands that even if the person says roitzani, there are no exceptions as long as you force the situation, you forced his hand, even if he gave it over bedas gomer in the end and he said roitzani and he was getting money out of you, the Rambam Shita is that still afal pikein we would consider that to be a lav gomer of leisachmoid. Rabbi Zalman in the Evan Ozel over there explains the Shita of the Rambam, and Rabbi Zalman explains that the Rambam held that even though ultimately it's considered to be a das that the person gave it over midas, nonetheless Rabbi Zalman says that the Rambam held that that's called an oinus which is midas. In other words, actually, even though normally oinus and das perhaps he would have thought of a steer to one another, but he says Rabbi Zalman says actually really not, because over here there's no question you were forced into it, and the Rambam held there's no question that the person had not had a gun held to his head, so even if cash is being held out to him, if the cash is very tempting, he's holding out the cash, nonetheless Zokter Bezalman Avada, without the gun they never would have agreed to sell. I don't want to sell, I want to hold on to this thing for myself. It's only because you're holding the gun, so therefore I already have a complete fullness of a acceptance of the situation, and I give it over to you with an acceptance, with a das. But still, even though there's a das, Zokter, there still is an oines. It's an oines which elicits a das out of me. So Zokter Bezalman, since there's a das, so therefore Gzeli, you're not going to have, it's not considered to be Gezel, the hand of the taker. But Afo Pikain, since there's an oines, so therefore, we consider it to be like Sachmud because you forced the situation. Without your forcing, I wouldn't have given it. And therefore, the Shita Rambam is that you're over on like Sachmud even if you elicit from me a Roitzani. That's a Bissa Zalman. Now, Be'emes over here, the Achroinim ask a Kasha on the Rambam. The Kasha is asked by the Tumim and by others, and it's a Kasha on the Lashon of Rambam and Perek Yud of Hilchus Edis. Yet the Rambam says that anybody who is over on any kind of a Gezel, the Rehem, even a Dabonan type of a Gezel, your apostle, Ketzad, Zokter Rambam, Ketzad, Ha Chamsonim. Chamsonim, that's a Sugya in our Gemara, and people who forcibly take and they give cash in return, chamsonim, they forcibly take and they give the cash, is zokti the Rambam afa pisha noisendom, even if they pay hare elu tzolim midivrehim, so they're considered the apostle eidus on the Rabbanon level. So what's the Rambam saying? Why is it that a chamson is apostle eidus on the Rabbanon level? What does the Rambam say? The answer is the Rambam says he's apostle because it has a din of a gezel derabbanon. Chotch on the rice level is not a gezel, you're giving the money. Nonetheless, on the Rabbanon level, it is a gezel, and therefore you apostle the edus with the abonon if you're a chamson. The fact of the tumim and other achrenim as well, why did Rambam need to say that there's a nupsal of a gezel, the abonon of a chamson? Why didn't Rambam say it's because of leisachmoid? The Rambam is not going to have toises as terutzim, because toises as terutzim that over here there was no leisachmoid because you paid cash, or over here there was no leisachmoid because you paid cash and the person said roitzani. But the shita of the Rambam idoch, not like all these malchim and toises, and the Rambam held that even if you paid the cash and even if you said get the person to say roitzani, still with all those things you're still over on leisachmoid. So what does the man have to say? It's because you're over on gezel derabbanon. That's why you become posel eidus. Typically, the Rambam should say that the person becomes posel from eidus because he's over on leisachmoid deraisa. Forget about gezel derabbanon. What about leisachmoid deraisa? The Rambam not going to have toisa trutzim. So why can the Rambam posel learn the apostle as leisachmoid? That's the kasha of the achroin. Zokta tumim that the Rambam is going to learn that since the Gemara Bumbetzia says a loshen toisa. His quotes over here that loisach moed leinshi beloy deme mash maluhu, which Tosfos on one side learns kipshutoi that people think that loisach moed only applies if you don't pay money. So the emes is according to the Rambam, loisach moed always applies not only if you do pay money, but even if you pay money and you elicit roitzani, and loisach moed always applies. But vibal that Tosfos says in one side of Tosfos that the Gemara in Bava Metzia is kipshutoi that people don't think of it as being loisach moed unless you don't pay. So therefore comes out that why should we passel the guy from being considered passel the edus based on the fact he's oven leisachmoid when the Gemara is telling us about Metzia, he doesn't think he's oven leisachmoid. So as far as he knows, he's a kosher yid. As far as he knows, he's not being oven the rights of leisachmoid. So since the Gemara says, beloy de mash maluhu, people don't think think of it as a loisachmoid, then itself is a reason not to passel the person from an eidos, because even he did the aveira, he didn't think of it as being an aveira, and that's how the Rambam is not going to passel as loisachmoid. Zokta tumim, that's what we're going to get loisachmoid. But once Chazal came along, and they said that in addition to being loisachmoid deraisa, it also has a shem gezel on it. That says not just the over on coveting it, mishaloi kedin, etc., but also has the mice of taking it as a shem maisik zela. So once it has a shem maisik zela, people don't melamed zchus. Once Chazal kaveda the shem maisik zela, everybody knows it's a zela, and that's all. Everybody's nesiachatur as a zela, even though it's a bonon, but people are nesiachatur as a zela da bonon. So melu v'yafua, at that point it becomes unmistakable to anybody and everybody that that's a maisik gezel. That's what I'm saying over there, that the chamson is posel le'edus because he was over on gezel da bonon, so therefore it's a posel da bonon. Even though he's also under the derais of loisachmoid, that's not a sieve of the pasuk because they don't think of that as a violation of loisachmoid. The moment that it has a shem gezel on it, everybody is nesiachas to that's gezel, and the gezel derbonon, that's what I'm saying, that's what it is that passels the person from being an aid.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in shas, including Myra McClamis on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.